Well, good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be here today, and I hope you are blessed also in being here with us today. We are going to be looking at some things that we started this year thinking about, specifically surrounding this topic, blessings for the bride. You may understand very well that in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, that Christ is represented as being the husband of the church, and the church represented as being the bride of Christ. And so in thinking about the blessings for the bride, we're thinking about the blessings that the church has in her relationship with Christ. And this morning, I hope you will open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, where we will be looking at one of these great blessings, specifically the blessing of acceptance. And as we think about the blessing of acceptance this morning, we're going to work through this text here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5 and 6. And as we think about those things, we will see what it means to be accepted in Jesus Christ. But before we do that, notice Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 specifically as we think about the blessings of the bride. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now, last month we introduced this thought and noted specifically that the blessings that Christ has for the church are exclusively hers. And just as one would not come to a wedding ceremony and sit down, and then when the ceremony is over, go to the back and start taking the presents from the bride's gift table, that would be such a horrible thing to do, because those gifts are reserved for the bride alone. So also, when we see the gifts that have been given the bride in the New Testament, we recognize that those gifts are for the church and they are for no other. And for someone to come in and try to claim those gifts as their own without being part of the bride of Christ would be akin to that other circumstance that I described earlier. And so as we think about this relationship of the Christian to Christ, we bring to mind Romans 7 and verse 4. "Therefore, my brethren, you have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." And so the Christian is married to Christ in this metaphorical thought that we are representing here. So the blessing of acceptance is the blessing that we would like to discuss this morning as we think about the blessings of the bride. And let's notice this starting in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." Accepted in the beloved. When we think about being accepted, there are three concepts that are set forth here in these verses that teach us what it means to be accepted. First of all, the bride is blessed with acceptance because of God's choice. He chose us, it says, in him, verse 4. The bride is blessed with acceptance because of adoption. Notice verse 5. having predestined us to adoption as sons or children by Jesus Christ. And third, the bride is blessed with acceptance because of grace. And that's verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So let's think about those three things this morning as it relates to the blessing of acceptance. First of all, we are accepted by God by his choice. God chose us in Christ Jesus. Let's think about that concept for just a moment as we look at several scriptures. Notice Ephesians 1 and verse 4, this phrase at the beginning, just as he chose us in him. He chose us in him, in Jesus Christ. And that's an important expression to understand. That little prepositional phrase, in him, is so important because it modifies how the choice was made. This is an adverbial prepositional phrase. He chose us. How? In him or by him. And every in-law here today should understand this concept. When your child chooses a spouse, that spouse becomes your choice also by virtue of your child's choice. If it is your son, then his bride becomes your daughter-in-law. She becomes part of your family. And she is accepted by virtue of his choice. Now, Jesus Christ has made some choices in regard to how we become his. And when we follow that teaching and example, and we become Jesus Christ, then God has chosen us through him or in him. You see, Jesus invites everyone. In Matthew 11 and verses 28 through 29, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Jesus invites everyone, but it is only those who respond, who hear, and who obey the gospel message who become his. Ephesians 1 and verse 13, just skip down a few verses here in this same text and look what Paul says about those Christians at Ephesus. It says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after or having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. They heard and they believed. And if you turn back to Acts chapter 19 and verse 5, you will see there exactly how that happened. You see, this is Paul's initial work with the church at Ephesus. They did not understand everything they needed to understand about God and his son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But when Paul taught them the way more perfectly than they had been taught before, Acts chapter 19 and verse 5 says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so just as when a young man proposes to a young woman, she must accept his proposal, so also to become Christ's, we must accept his proposal. And we accept it by hearing his word and believing it, repenting of sins, confessing him as Lord, and being baptized. And then he adds us to his body. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. The Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. And as the body of Christ, we are the bride of Christ. And when we think about what is taught here about acceptance, we must understand that we are accepted in the Beloved. God chose us in Him. When? Before the foundation of the world. As we think about this concept, we understand that it is God who had in mind the great plan that Jesus would come to the earth and die on the cross and be used as the instrument for the salvation of all mankind. And then thus, as anyone responded to Jesus' invitation, they would belong to His Son, Jesus. Some teach that God chose every single individually, personally, and uniquely, and distinctly. But that does not appear to be what the Bible teaches about this. Rather, the Bible teaches that it is through Christ that we are chosen. Again, just as when your child chooses a spouse, that becomes your choice also, so God, His Son, when He chooses, that becomes God's choice. And all who respond to Christ would then belong to Him. In that way, God chose us for salvation, just as we choose in the other way that I mentioned. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11 says, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's eternal purpose, His predestined plan, was accomplished in Jesus Christ. For what purpose? Notice again, verse 4. "That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." God chose Jesus, and Jesus invites all. And those who receive the invitation, then, Jesus chooses for salvation. And what is the purpose? What is the intent? That we should be holy and blameless. A bride is holy, inasmuch as she is set apart for her husband. She is not to be given to any other. Christ's acceptance of us into His family produces holiness because we are of Him. We are His bride, and therefore we are for Him alone. This relationship produces wonderful results. We are cleansed of our sins, and we love Jesus Christ, for whom we commit our lives to serve Him. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 22 says, "But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life." And so God's people are to be holy and blameless. Notice also, before Him in love. As Ephesians 1 and verse 4 ends, "Before Him in love." What bride is there who does not love her groom? What husband is there who does not love his wife? Christ loves the church, and the church is to love Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5 verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her." Ephesians 6 and verse 26 says this, "Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. It is a two-way relationship. Before Him in love. And a faithful bride is going to love her husband and serve him and work with him all the days of her life, as a husband will his bride also. And so we are accepted by God's choice. But then secondly, we are accepted by adoption. Notice specifically verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Adoption was a legal process that brought a child into a family. By virtue of this legal process, the child gained full rights, privileges, and responsibilities in the family. Those children in the first century who were adopted into the family then had right to inheritance, but they also had responsibility to parents. When we think about adoption today, I know that is a very complicated subject, but adoption should indicate nothing more than full relationship of parent and child in a family. The Bible talks about adoption in several places, here in Ephesians 1 and verse 5, and also in Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7. There we read these words, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons," or as children. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Notice that this passage makes it perfectly clear that those who are adopted into the family become full heirs. And here, it is through Christ that we are adopted into God's family. And to be a Christian, then, has the acceptance of full family membership. Think about that we were adopted again by Jesus Christ. And this expression occurs again and again and again in Ephesians 1. In Christ, by Christ, of Christ, over and over again. Because you see, it is Christ who gives us all of these things. As we've looked at Galatians chapter 4, let's turn back to Galatians chapter 3 and think about how Christ adopted us into the family very specifically. Notice what this passage says. "For you are all sons," or children of God, "through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And so by putting on Christ in baptism, we take his identity, just as a bride takes the identity of her husband by wearing his name. So also we take the identity of Christ when we are baptized into him. And this is what God wants. Notice verse 5, "It is according to the good pleasure of his will." When two come together and are wed, it is according to the good pleasure of their will that they receive and accept and make their vows together. Jesus Christ wants to be in a relationship with his people. It is according to the good pleasure of his will. He said in John chapter 6 and verse 40, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says that Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Father willed this to happen. Jesus willed this to happen. And Hebrews 2 and verse 10 says, "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." He desired to bring many sons to glory. You see, we are accepted by adoption. And it isn't something that God had to force on himself. It isn't something that Jesus Christ said, "Oh, well, I guess I have to do this now." God desired to do this. Jesus Christ desired to do this. It was according to the good pleasure of his will. He wants a relationship with every single person. And it comes through him and the gospel message. We are accepted because of adoption. And then finally, as we look at acceptance, the blessing of acceptance, we are accepted by grace. And this is verse 5, or verse 6. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." The whole process of adoption shows Christ's grace. Some of you may not know this. I've probably said it before, but I am an adopted child. My parents adopted me way back in 1968, a long time ago now. And I was adopted by them, not because of anything that I had done, because I was just an infant child, but because they wanted me in their family. God was not forced to bring us into his family. Jesus Christ was not forced to sacrifice himself on the cross. It was because of God's grace, because of his favor toward mankind. It was a gift that he gave to them, just as my parents gave me the gift of being their child. Not because of anything I had done, but because they wanted to do it. And so this means that the whole process was by God's grace and favor for mankind. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God." We are thankful that God chose, willed, and favored this great adoption into his family. He made us accepted then by his grace. This word accepted is an interesting word in the Greek New Testament. And the translation really does not do it justice. "To the praise and the glory of his grace." That is a noun there, the noun grace. But then it goes on and says, "by which he made us accepted." That word accepted is the verb form of grace in the past tense. In other words, by his grace, he graced us, is what this passage is saying. He graced us. And as I was trying to think of some illustrations, one that came to my mind was when perhaps someone comes before a king or a queen and they kneel before that king or queen, and that king or queen extends the scepter and touches the shoulder of the one before him or her and thus bestows grace or favor on this person, whoever it might be. That is what we have here. He graced us with his grace, or by his grace. We should consider that God was not forced into making this choice. God wanted to do this. It was according to the good pleasure of his will. He sought mankind out to bring back to him. He sought out a bride that he might bring her to him in a loving, wonderful relationship. Jesus Christ was the instrument through which he accomplished this. And those who are in Christ Jesus receive the favor God has for his beloved. How did God accept Christ? Acts 5 and verse 31 says that him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. You see, Christ was the one who was exalted. Christ was the one who was accepted. Christ was the beloved. And we are graced by his grace in the beloved, Christ Jesus himself. Think about God's acceptance of Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, for example, which says that God also highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And think about 2 Peter 1 and verse 17. For he received from God, God the Father, honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When we abide in Christ, we receive the same favor that God has for his Son, Jesus Christ. Think about that for just a moment. To be in Christ is to have the same relationship with God as Christ has with God, because we are in him. Now that's acceptance. That is something that no other can take away from us as long as we remain in Christ Jesus. The bride is blessed with acceptance because of God's choice, because of adoption, and because of his grace. Now, through Christ, God has accepted and loved us. What should our attitude be toward him and toward one another? We need to love and accept him. We need to love and accept one another. In Colossians 3, in verses 12 through 13, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Think about that for just a moment, and how important it is then to reflect Christ within our lives. If God has accepted us by virtue of Jesus Christ and his great sacrifice, for us to turn around and then reject another who is in that same relationship, what does that say about how we value Christ? It says very little. Let us then receive one another, accept one another, love one another, forgive one another, as Christ has loved and forgiven us. Maybe this morning you need Christ's forgiveness. And by doing those things that Christ has set forth for you to do, you can become a part of the body of Christ, the church, his beloved bride. And maybe this morning you would like to do that. We're ready to help you with that. Or maybe you need the prayers of the church. We can offer prayers for you also, because we want you to be forgiven and accepted and part of this great body, which is Christ's. Now, Christ wants us to be holy, and he wants us to be without blemish. And that means we must let him and his blood wash away our sins by hearing his word and believing it, repenting of our sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, being baptized for our sins, and living faithfully for him each and every day. Maybe someone needs help doing this today. We are glad to help you. If you have a need, please come and make it known now, while together we stand and while we sing.